Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. The Tangled Woo Flu.
I pushed the record button just in time for that.
Oh my God. Did you get that?
Like, yeah. I pushed it and he started.
So, like, okay.
First of all, swine flu.
The Woo Flu is what I have called it. Like, for
the Woo Flu?
Yes, from Wuhan, China.
The China virus?
Yeah. And no one, like, people act like that's offensive. Why? I think it's a cool name, man. It's the origin of the story, right?
Turns out that's where it was from.
So your nickname just hadn't caught on yet. It's about to, though.
Yeah, it is. The Woo Flu.
Yeah, I can see CNN next.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the pre-COVID and the post-COVID world. I guess to start this conversation, we got to, you know, start before COVID. I'll say this, you know, being in the medical field and running clinics and mostly for businesses, some Fortune 500 companies and what have you, I remember the bird flu. I remember the bird flu scare.
Do you?
That SARS?
So I had a company, and I can't remember the drug that we bought, and it makes me a bad provider for that. But yeah, I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But they bought, I think it was just Tamiflu, just simple Tamiflu. They made us buy an absorbent amount of that because the bird flu was coming, right? You know, it was like 3-4 years before actual COVID, bird flu was coming. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, we're going to spend literally, I think it was like $30,000 on Tamiflu. I don't know how much that was, but it was enough for their whole plant. And I'm like, you know, okay, this doesn't make any sense at all. And I remember talking to our owners at the time and saying, hey guys, how about we just take this money and I'll keep it and we'll buy like a quarter of the supply. And if the bird flu actually comes, then I'll buy the rest of it that we told them we're going to buy for them. Cause it just seems so wasteful to spend this amount of money on these boxes and boxes. They're going to sit in the storage unit next to old BHP over there.
Well, it was the shadow government that really runs everything, testing us to see if we would respond to a pandemic.
I had one company that did, and I thought they were the craziest people in the world. I'm like, really, guys, let me just put this in an interest-bearing account, and we'll buy some of it, and then, you know, if something ever comes, we'll hurry up and buy it right quick. And, of course, we didn't. We did what we said we were going to do, and which was the right thing to do, but I mean, we could have bought a, you know, I want to say it was $40,000-$50,000, you know, and I thought, man, that's crazy. I can't believe they're so dumb.
So stupid.
Yeah. They arm wrestled me over a nickel, over a dollar on a fit test.
Well, and you just said something. It's $40,000-$50,000, you know, pre-COVID. Now it's $150,000 to $300,000 for the same thing, right?
I got some COVID stories of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's affected us from an inflation standpoint.
Yeah.
Mechanically speaking, I wanted a pre-COVID car because, you know, the mechanics weren't showing up. I sold generators at the time. And if you got a generator that was built with a serial number that was pre-COVID pandemic, it would work. If you got one with a serial number that was during pandemic, it would break. Like, could, you know, pretty much guarantee it because they were slapping this stuff together with three people and they were 6 feet apart trying to build an engine.
Yeah. The process has just changed.
Just cratered all the effectiveness of a lot of stuff. I remember one of the fun things was really, really reliable was just travel in general. You could predict holidays, you could predict flu season. Well, the flu doesn't exist anymore, apparently. I haven't met anybody that had the flu in 4 years.
The Woo Flu does.
speaking of the Woo Flu, hold on. Coronavirus. Had either one of you, y'all are non-medical guys, had either one of y'all ever heard of the coronavirus before the coronavirus came out?
No, but apparently there's 18 different versions ahead of the COVID-19.
Yeah, there's more probably. Okay. I don't know it off the top of my head. The only thing I knew about the coronavirus is that was the virus that called the common cold. It caused the common cold. So when I heard about the coronavirus coming, I was like, oh no, we're going to be sick with the man flu, not the Woo Flu, but the man flu. I'm like, oh, we're going to get the common cold. Everybody's going to get the common cold. And what I didn't realize, because I'm so dumb and easily dismissive of things, is that, you know, this version's a little different. You know, while it is a virus and it does act similar, its side effects are different. And yeah. I completely underestimated it.
Its side effects are isolation from people and family and mental distress. And yes, there were some people that were greatly affected by it.
Yes, those
physically.
Were
the, yeah, it really did happen. I don't want to discount that.
No
but
question.
There was so much fallout and side effects.
Oh, we made it four times, we're still, five we're times. We're worse still dealing than
with
it. Been?
We're yeah. still yeah. dealing with it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, shutting down the world's economy. Over a virus that never was proven to be so deadly to healthy people.
Not only did we shut down the economy, we printed $5.9 trillion of money that didn't exist.
Yep.
And
everybody
threw
stay
it
home
into
and the, we're just going to give you money.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the craziest. I mean, yeah. it was like one of the largest social experiments of our generation and likely will be the largest social experiment. And we didn't realize it at the time. I yeah. mean, flattening the curve, you know, the yeah. whole thing.
We're going to stay home for 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned into 2 years.
I know. It was crazy.
It was like, I'll never forget when they had watching the news and seeing like when the SARS thing or whatever was out, the bird flu, and they would show the people with the mask on in China and stuff like that or in different countries.
We were
countries.
Laughing at them.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not ever going to wear a mask. Like,
that's the dumbest thing
I've
ever seen.
Yeah, it's so yeah. stupid. Just let me get it and I'll get over it. But yeah.
Yeah, but we're from the South where they're like, man, throw them in daycare and rub dirt all over them. Let them get every virus yeah. while they're young. So, and if they make it through, man, they're going to be invincible.
I did get the Wu flu. And when I did get the Wu flu, I combated the Wu flu different than most people would have combated the Wu flu.
I can't wait to hear this.
I self-prescribed me some medicine, which was a bottle of tequila.
I was going to ask you yes. if alcohol was going
to
kill off.
I had a llama floaty. I swear to God, I had this awesome llama floaty. I got in my pool in just my underwear.
Okay.
And I floated in my pool for like a day and drank that bottle of tequila. Because I had heard vitamin D will help, so I got a sunburn, and my sunburn was more intense than the Wu flu was the next day.
So before you correct him on how this better. Medically yeah. wrong, I had a very similar attitude towards it. Similar, like cousins, not sisters. Similar. Yeah. So I was training for Ironman stuff, and I said, I'm going to sunshine and blood flow. It's going to cure everything. I figure that cures everything there is that needs to be cured.
Of course
so
it does.
I ran... 4 days in, I hit about 35 miles. I was running 10 miles a day in the middle of the days of August. And I'm just going to run it out. And about the third or fourth day, I think I was about 34, 35 miles in when I was just like, nope, I'm walking home. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then the next day I woke up like nothing ever happened. So I can't say that it didn't work.
Yeah.
But I was young and healthy. And tell me all the medical reasons that's wrong. Because I've heard you say that to me several
yeah,
times.
That is definitely been proven to be wrong. You cannot sweat out the Wu flu or any other flu for that matter.
It gave me something to do.
I mean, yes, it probably mentally kept you, you know, and it's like the placebo effect. If you believe it's going to work, it'll work.
Well, and your yeah. sunburn probably.
Same thing with your tequila.
You.
Yeah. And yeah.
No, I mean, I still had like a slight fever the next day and I didn't. It was right after Laura.
Yeah.
Right. Like I volunteered to go help somewhere and was like stocking up water and doing all this other stuff. And I knew there was a certain truck that came in and it came in from Texas. I was unloading it and I knew that the dude wasn't well. And I was like, I just got the Wu flu.
That's interesting because most of the time you don't know it's coming.
No, I started feeling it. Like, I started feeling sick. I was like, hey, look, I'm not coming, you know, back tomorrow. I told, like, where I was volunteering at, I was like, I'm not coming back tomorrow. I feel terrible. I don't want to be around y'all. You know what I mean?
Because
they were older gentlemen. So, so I went home and told Tammy, like, but Tammy was, she was still having to go to work and stuff like that. So like that.
Also, she was essential then.
Yeah,
she was essential. We didn't know who was essential and who was not.
We deemed our business essential real fast.
And pre-COVID versus post-COVID.
So, I was like, I don't feel good. But she ended up getting sick too from me. And it sucked because
like when you're the kid with chicken pox. Just go ahead and get your mom used to bring you over to somebody's house and get chicken pox.
It was in the midst of the 28 days without power after Laura.
Oh no!
Oh no! Yeah. Oh, so for me,
yeah,
COVID disappeared after the hurricane. It blew, it blew away for 30 days.
Yeah, it was gone. Because
everybody was isolated.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, without, I ain't going to lie. Like, that was, I think that was the saving grace to our community was that hurricane.
Two of them.
Yeah, those two hurricanes during, COVID.
Hurricane Laura was the saving grace.
Absolutely.
I apologize to Southwest Louisiana for Garrett Baker.
No, the way that our,
I'm on Team G Baker over here.
Our community came together in this way that was awesome. And just, it was. Now, man, like, think about it. The state and the federal government didn't do anything for us for 2 weeks.
No. Laura, they just like, it, you know, Rita was great. Katrina was good. Laura, they're just like, you know,
I hate
there's two middle fingers, boys.
Yeah. And for 30 days good after that, we got to throw away our mask and hang out with people.
We did.
And do all that stuff. So, from a social standpoint, it was wonderful.
From a mental standpoint, I agree.
Yeah, it was cool because our neighborhood, we would cook. We were looking out for each other.
I find that hurricanes in Louisiana bring out the best in Louisianans. I mean, in us Cajuns, man. We're out there with tractors, chainsaws, whatever, generators. I mean, window units. That's what we do, man.
We're different. Like, is it just to, you know, like, now that I travel all over the South now, right? Man, there's so many more states that's way more beautiful than Louisiana.
Oh, no question.
Like, when people are like, oh, my God, I would love to see a swamp. They look so beautiful. And I'm like, man, that thing stinks. And
you
I get used to it
when you're here. And other people think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel the mosquitoes.
Oh, I can smell them in the marsh.
I'm like, man. No doubt.
Louisiana. Because
they're up my nose. They're so
thick. Yeah, but I can't leave. It's like we're built different. Like, we are resilient human beings that live in this area that, like, most people would tap out, right? And just say, okay, why are we doing this?
It really is one of the hardest places to scratch out a living. Like this, the Lone Survivor show or Stranded or whatever it is, Alone, where they drop somebody off. Naked and Afraid. Yeah. When they drop those dudes off in the Atchafalaya Basins, they've been all over the world. They're like, this is the worst place on the planet.
Night just because of mosquitoes.
You know that one dude started eating the snakes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he turned into a snake eater.
Mosquitoes are big enough to make a meal.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt.
Yeah, but that's...
Well, so post-COVID, now that we're post-COVID, you know, of course, COVID was bad on everybody, and we had to endure a lot of different things. But, you know, I think, let's talk about during COVID a little bit. The supply chain, like, what surprised me most was the supply chain interruption. Like, I didn't realize how fragile the world's economy is.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea, because everybody around the world, it wasn't just the U.S. I mean, everybody else was probably worse than the U.S. Finally, the people in the South are just like, all right, we're done with COVID. I mean, we're just going to die, all right?
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to sit around. And we learned a lot about mental health. Like, mental health issues came to the forefront during COVID just because isolation and how we're meant for community. We talk about that all the time. Christianity, we're meant for community. We're not meant for isolation. And
yeah.
Man, did COVID ever teach us that? And you know, sometimes the cure is worth more than the disease.
Yeah.
We've talked about that in medicine a lot of times with chemotherapies and other things. Like, at what point in time? So, yeah, y'all talk through that. I mean, what you know, with the supply chain and with mental health and just the cure that they, you know, I don't think there was any ill intent. You know, I know Garrett's going to tell us that there was a conspiracy and there was
no. I don't think. I really, man, I'm really indifferent to the COVID era, right? Because, like, on the front end of it, it was I had an incredible time through COVID. Like, I learned really how to operate differently. I couldn't do the same things because I was still having to sell, right? Like, all of my customers were essential, but, like, I wasn't considered essential being a outside sales guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I actually, I still had positive numbers. I was still hitting my budgets.
That's amazing.
What was that? Clinton's advisor, is it Rahm Emanuel? Or
Rahm Emanuel
said never let a crisis go to waste.
Yes.
And I think that's our attitude towards we're hustlers. Yeah. When there's an opportunity, whether it's a hurricane, if it's a pandemic, if it's whatever, we find a way.
I would have had so much growth because I actually went to the hospitals and was like, hey, I sell these, like, self-breathing apparatuses, like,
Y'all got into the sanitation stuff and everything else. Well,
I was still selling the products. I was still selling equipment and stuff. So that was the when it first happened. Like, instead of us taking the money, our company took a tax incentive to keep people employed. Right. So they didn't take the whatever.
Yeah, loan. All that money our government printed.
Yeah. They didn't take that loan, but they did take a tax credit. So, like, with them taking that tax credit, what they did was they averaged our commissions and was like, look, this will be your commission each month until we don't know when this is going to be over. So it was like, it was fair for me. It was equitable. I was like, hey, this is cool. So if I don't sell nothing, I still get this commission right here. And they were like, yeah, because it's not your fault that we're going to be in a down market. But so I went to the hospitals and was like, hey, we have these things. So I quoted hundreds of these things. Well, the company, I was going to have all kinds of positive growth because Garrett, like, now this hospital is giving this hospital my phone number. And now I'm getting plugged in with all these things, right? Well, the company was like, where are these going to? And I was like, I couldn't lie, you know? And they're good dudes. Like, the company is like, they're faith-based people, right? So they were like, where is going to the hospital? I was like, it's going to hospitals. I was like, look, you know, I hate to do this to you, but like, we're going to sell these direct at a discounted rate because these people really, they need this stuff, you know? And
you don't see that in business a lot.
No, but
supply and demand.
But that's why, man, these dudes in our industry, these guys are innovators. They're just great guys. Like, I love their product. I love their approach. They recently sold to the family still has some input in the business, but they sold. But they were at that time they were family owned.
Mm-hmm.
But so it was like I was about to have like explosive growth. I was, you know, about to like Ric Flair woo and, you know, tell woo, somebody show me the money. Flu. Yeah.
Well, on the other hand, it created this massive influx of cash to people that wouldn't normally have it, or
PPP loans,
all kinds of stuff. Look, and
I made quite a bit off that PPP loan because I took care of my employees.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great, but then the next thing you know, bread cost $6 for a loaf of bread now or whatever. Yeah. It's something stupid.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And
I think inflation was, let's talk about negatives. Realization of how fragile our economy is.
Auto, just vehicles just autos, shot through the roof. Yeah. With supply and demand.
And nothing ever comes down.
Well,
nothing ever comes down. If you look at it, the cost of anything never comes down. We talked about
except
that.
Except the bubble on the cars and other things. But like,
I don't think it came down.
I was watching C8 these new Corvettes like a hawk, and I gave up on them because MSRP on this thing's $59,000, $61,000 MSRP. And they're literally selling them for $105 is the lowest one you could find one. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I found a year old one, the 19 model, for $90,000. The Z06, big bad, and bought it, drove it for 9 months, sold it, got every dime back on trade-in. So I drove it for free. And then, I'm still watching these others. Like, I really want one of these, but I never got one because the price was outrageous. Well, now you can go buy one at MSRP or below now, today.
Yeah.
So all the people that bought them at $105,000 are trying to sell them for $55,000, $60,000. And did you get a loan on that or did you pay cash?
Yeah.
Like, you got to pay attention to what's going on here.
Yeah.
You got to read the tea leaves on some of this.
Well, I don't think people realize like how our money works, right? Like they don't understand that is just a promissory note, right? It is. It's the same as you basically.
We're not on the gold standard anymore.
Yeah, we're not on the gold standard.
We're on the Bitcoin standard.
Yeah. But no, but it is. It's still.
I love how our government makes fun of Bitcoin, and we're the same.
Yeah, you know? But all it is a promissory note. But like what you did, it's just like if you own. Like when I do own stocks, right? So if I own a stock and I see a company that's about to issue a whole bunch more shares, right? Like if you pay attention to what you're buying, you know that this is coming. I sell it because I know that I'm going to be able to buy more for cheaper.
Unless they're splitting, of course.
Yeah. Unless it's a split. But no, but like there is companies that dilute those, or they will take shares out of, you know? So, but what we did was we basically own stock when you own a dollar, when you got dollars. So all they did was dilute your dollars, you know? You know, I wish that people would understand that, because they sit around and they blame sides, like, oh, these guys are the reason for inflation. No, we printed $5.9 trillion of money that didn't exist and put it into the economy.
So one of the things that really drove home a point to me is government is not here to save you.
No.
The government is not coming, you know. And I think being on the Gulf Coast and hurricanes in Louisiana, like, we learned to self-rely.
Yeah.
Like, stop putting your trust in any government.
Well, I think that's the Reagan quote, the scariest words in the nation is, I'm from the government and I'm
here to help you. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, in the moment, everybody was like, true. I can't believe they're not helping us more. We're losing our jobs. I'm like, well, you're losing your jobs because the economy's going down because of what we're doing here, which is shutting down the economy, guys. This is what happens. And it was like, let's use some common sense. I'm not a smart man, but I know if you don't go work for 3 weeks, that's going to shut down the economy.
So there was a pile of incompetence in this, and I'm gonna be authentic for a second. In Mexico, and I had some fishermen friends down there. They weren't allowed to fish. Like, one of them his job is he's a dive master. He teaches people how to scuba dive.
And underwater, where it's impossible to spread the disease.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to get on his scooter or his moped, drive down the road a mile, park it, take his spear gun and his free diving gear and fins and mask, and swim offshore into the Gulf, or not Gulf, but the ocean, and shoot a fish to feed his family. He had to get the subsidy that they gave them, a 2 pounds of food to last him 2 weeks for a family of four? Because the government
tries to make them dependent.
Yes. He was not allowed to literally go into the ocean and fish. There's not another person around. He's not going to give the fish COVID.
No.
But they literally stopped him. It was miserable. And so there was some, but you're right. It was a control measure. And I'm a little bitter about
fear.
It.
How about the fear? Shows you what groups of people can do. When you inject some fear into the situation, because some people were truly fearful.
Oh yeah.
They were angrily fearful. How dare you question this? Stay at home. You selfish, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like they were cussing the other side, and it shows
it was both sides.
Division. Yeah. No, both sides were. And you know, there were genuine people on both sides of that debate.
The irony of it is there was a political shift from the right to the left, right? And at one time, the right was saying, take the vaccine, right? Yeah. And then, like, all of a sudden, it switches, and then the left is like, take the vaccine. And I got to watch the right and the left.
Yeah, it was because when they did the Biden from the Trump.
I think the only thing was when they encourage me to take it. Don't make me take it. Yeah. The mandate, that's what really... People lost their jobs.
Trump administration was the one that started the research, and then Biden took over after that.
And then it was like, you're trying to poison
me. That was the devil.
Yeah. No, so it was like, that was the most like eye-opening moment.
Yeah, for sure.
That like the right wing and the left wing are connected to the same bird.
Same bird, right.
So it's like, at that moment, I was like, I realized I am a true moderate, right? Like, I am dead center. Of this, like, if you want to take it. If you don't want to take it, I don't care.
So,
yeah, I agree.
So, I noticed some stuff, and somebody's going to fact check this, and it's going to be wrong, but it's the spirit of it, people. Like, some of the Middle Eastern countries and Russia didn't have to deal with it at all. They never had any COVID issues.
Yeah, they don't have, like, open borders and just free visas and stuff.
But they didn't get COVID either. Like, they didn't shut down. They kept moving. But they were in their own world. Like, what's up with that? Like, why aren't they, the entire world rallied behind this if you were part of the UN?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think governments in general love crises because they can expand. Anything that allows them to expand. And as a taxpayer, I don't care if you're in Italy or France or in US, I mean, you should be wary of government. If you're not wary of government, just like you're wary of control in any part of your life, you wouldn't let your boss control you like that. Why would you gonna let the government? Yeah. Like,
so
just be wary about both sides. I'm not right or left. I mean, I am. I would say I lean right, but I'm more moderate than anything because the far rights are crazier than the far lefts. And in general, just be use your common sense, people.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. If it feels stupid, it probably is stupid. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
100%. No, and that's like, you couldn't say it better. Like, if it feels stupid, it is stupid. And there was, like, there was a lot of stupid. And the thing is, mm-hmm. you cannot fix stupid. Like, that's what my dad used to always tell me, like, boy, good thing you a dumb MF-er. Because you can learn.
That's all you got.
I'm just so glad dumb's you ain't okay. stupid. Because you can't okay. fix stupid.
You can learn.
Did you drive down the road by yourself in your car wearing your mask?
No, I did not.
I did not. No, but I watched other people and I did laugh very hard. Like, it was so humorous to me. Or wear your mask in the same people that you're going to take your mask off with when you get in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like your wife, kids. I'm like, all right, guys.
So one of my favorites was I did a Ironman Florida, and it was one of the two locations in the world that they let the event go on there in Cozumel that year, 2020. And so we had to social distance for the first time. So in that sport, you know, but they let it happen. Like, it was touch and go, but we're in Florida, right? So Florida was a little looser. And so that we got to have the race.
Yeah, DeSantis was like rock and roll.
Rock and roll. And so even in restaurants.
And he ended up being right, even though a lot of people were, I mean, look, think about the courage at the time to say, you know what, we're not closing. We're going to rock and roll. Because if he was wrong, that's the end of his political career. But, no question. If he was wrong on that.
Well, they probably would have charged him with all kinds of
stuff. He could end up in jail. No question.
It was so humorous, though, because you had to wear a mask. You'd have to wear a mask outside. When you walked into the restaurant, you had to wear a mask till you got seated. And then you could take the mask off.
Yeah.
Right. And it was the same thing with this triathlon. There's 2,500 people doing this triathlon. And, of course, they're coming in. This thing sold out like crazy because anybody could get one because it was doing it. So they're coming in from all over the world. We had to wear a mask all the way up to the swim start on the beach. And they had us separated into these chutes, like 6-8 lanes wide. And it was a staggered swim start. So we're wearing our mask up to the water. And as you run into the water, you take the mask off and throw it in a trash can. And then you go to a 140-mile race where you're swimming, biking, running, no mask. There's no COVID under a green flag. When you cross the finish line, instead of giving you medical assistance or a bottle of water, they just about grabbed you and put a mask on you. Like, and then it was back to social distancing. I'm like, it was just so
stupid.
It was like humorous. A little bit of liberation in the middle of the COVID world.
It was so silly because we just were bumping into each other and running sweating.
I flew during COVID.
I loved that social distancing on the plane thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was so comfortable. Like,
well, but did you see the fear in people's eyes when you're on those planes?
Yeah.
Like, there was legit people that were, like, I had empathy for them, even though I thought.
I can't say that I did not cough on purpose.
Oh my God, what a jerk.
I did. Dude,
I was seeing the fear in these people's eyes and I was feeling bad for them. I'm like, bad for them because they're scared or bad for them because they're dumb. I couldn't tell which one, but it was.
Yeah.
Still, it was just like, no, you're going to be okay. You know, if an old person has fear, man, I would go around a big time because that's legit.
For sure.
Yeah.
Respect.
Respect for the older generation.
So now we're past it, right? So, mostly, not completely, but mostly we're past it. What's our life like now? I mean, whether you believe that it ever happened or you believe that it was the most real thing that ever happened, our reality is we had to deal with it. So where are we at now?
Are you more conscious of just personal hygiene and germs now?
I'm a hand sanitizer freak.
I am too. I am a hand sanitizer freak.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to lick the floor to make sure I got all the good germs.
I think mine's in the health field. I don't pass up a hand sanitizer station ever for any reason. I always hit it.
Well, I wash my hands, but I'm all about herd immunity.
I keep a jar on my, desk, you know, or like I'll identify where the good smelling hand sanitizers in the office are. And
talking
like,
about the ones the vodka company started making.
Those
hand
were terrible. Like, I,
oh
hey, there,
my gosh.
There was this one hand sanitizer. Yeah. It smelled like you were washing your hands with tequila.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, they had several.
Yeah. It was like, come on, man.
Remember when you couldn't get hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Think about the things that we couldn't get, like toilet paper.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hand what was sanitizer. It?
Like, when I got it, I didn't have the Foise. You know, like, it didn't.
Dude.
Yeah. I didn't need all that. Like, So it might be, no, it was nationwide. There was a toilet paper shortage.
Oh, there was a huge. Yeah, like we're so weird as a country, oh, as a people. We're hey, so
and
dumb.
It compounded so much as soon as we found out it was a shortage.
Everybody wanted toilet paper. You could sell that stuff.
I've never had so much toilet paper in my house in my life.
That's the problem.
I'm like, there's no shortage. It's all in my house.
Southwest Louisiana does some of the strangest things in the strangest times.
Right. So this is a little bit off the COVID, but it did happen during the COVID. I went to Rouse's, one of the Rouse's here, and this is as true a semi-true story as I can tell, to the best of my memory. There was a couple 18-wheelers unloading groceries, pallets of water. The Budweiser distributor truck backed up. Dude, we were pulling that stuff off of there as a community. That thing sold out in the parking lot in cases of beer, prepping for the hurricane.
No but kidding.
They sold out of beer. I watched them sell out of beer before they sold out of water.
Yeah.
Cases of water. Because we got a hurricane coming. We got to stay hydrated.
Dude, hey.
Like, it's just
only in South Louisiana.
Hurricanes and freezes in Southwest Louisiana.
Got our priorities, right?
The only thing that's strange to me, like with the freeze, and next time we have a hard freeze that's coming, I want y'all to go to the store and check it out. Like the eggs, people buy all the eggs during the freeze. I don't know.
Milk and eggs.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, what are we doing here? Like, what are you gonna do with all these eggs?
No, I don't disagree. So let me ask you this. I think COVID started our inflation with groceries. And I know this is a bigger topic, and I don't know that we need to go down it all the way with inflation. I know it's not just COVID, but specifically groceries started getting high during COVID and have not stopped.
No.
It's insanity how much daily.
Whoa.
Like, you know, you see all these things on social media where, you know, here's my cart, you know, for Walmart or Amazon or, you know, Market Basket, wherever they're buying their groceries back in 2019. And here it is now. And it's like triple.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal. And that does not match national inflation prices.
So
why freaking groceries? I don't. Is that so a COVID?
If you
thing?
If you don't eat, you die.
Honestly,
you gotta have it.
I mean, if you think about it, prior to COVID, there was this.
So
like,
Tino's Pizza used to be 99 cents.
Yeah,
it ain't 99 cents no
but
more.
There was this really cool like farm to market like culture that was bustling in the United States at that time. Like the whole free range organic thing was really popping, and then. So what did COVID do? Like, what did it impact? It impacted those small farmers markets, right?
Yeah.
So like.
But all the big boys stayed in business. So yeah, they crushed a lot of the small business.
They did. Like that was what was impacted the most was small businesses.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
So like now we're at the mercy of the beast. Like we don't.
So now that they got the control of the market, and any monopoly or control on a market is going to hurt the consumer.
Yeah.
Always.
100%. Yeah. Like, so that. I mean, big picture, like that's what they, you know, that was impacted greatly. Like our little local farmers market is just starting. Well, not just starting; it's been back for a while. But you know, like it's not to how many booths were there prior to COVID.
Yeah, but not even like that. The local chicken farmer, the local egg farmer.
Yeah.
You know, they got squeezed out during COVID, and now they're all owned by, you know, the conglomerate. You know?
So to throw in a ray of hope here, over 50% of business in America is small business still to this day.
And really?
So we are the backbone of the economy as small business owners. The problem we have is we're not so united.
There's so few large corporations that own all of them.
Right. It's kind of like churches in the South, right? It's the most per capita. Anywhere in the world, but it's because we can't get along. And so the small business side of it, let's throw an example of that in. We here recently interviewed or had a podcast released a while back where Sean Wilcott in Kansas is a brewer.
Yeah,
and he told a story, small business owner, but he was brewing, he was making a product, and he could not sell it to grocery stores. He had to go to a middleman distributor who determined whether or not his product got put on the shelf. Well, guess what?
Because that was big business.
Big old business. Anheuser-Busch across the river, across the state line over there, is buying all the spots because they're the one giving the good stuff to the distributor, and they got them in their pocket. I mean, we'll call it what it is. And so they went through, and he spent some time, legislation, they changed the law. He delivered his first flat of brew to a local grocery store. That's a win for small business.
Well,
in that state.
That's a win for the consumer as
it
well.
Is. It is. Like,
I'm tired of drinking Coors Light, Buzz Light, you know, the same five beers for the last 50 years. I want some, you know, I want some local brews. When we go out of town, the first thing we do when we go to a grocery store, look for a local brew. I want to try out your local flavor, you know.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to do that.
So there's hope for the small business owner, but I'm not trying to say we got to unite, and I'm not saying that, but we're going to go back to working together and communicating with other small businesses. You know, people like the listeners of this podcast ourselves, none of us really do the exact same thing, but we work together.
And
it's important that we do that.
Yeah. I think that's a great bring out of COVID is, hey, let's work together to make sure that we're keeping small business going, because it killed so many small businesses. COVID, I think that's a lasting thing, is that killed so many small businesses is, hey, let's work together. I don't care if you're on the left or the right. We need small businesses. That's one thing we know. For a healthy economy, you got to have a good middle class, and you got to have some good small businesses.
Yeah, and despite all of that, there's not a better country on the planet than America to have a small business that I'm aware of.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I just don't know it. Yeah.
We're it. So.
Well, the thing that I learned, the biggest lesson that I learned is that our government does not have a money problem. They don't have a cash flow problem. They have a spending problem.
Yes, sir.
And they they spend with both hands. And I don't think that I should have to pay more taxes because they don't know how to spend their money. And they're a bunch of bustling
idiots.
You think
they were using all the toilet paper resources to make paper to print the money on? Is that where all the toilet paper went?
I don't know.
It's about the same in the dollar bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can have a political talk. You know, politicians becoming rich when they're politicians, you know.
Yeah.
Both left and right. I mean, that drives me insane. It's because, you know, we have a corrupt system right now that we need to fix. But COVID did highlight that. But, man, we need to bind together and protect small business.
Yeah, I agree. And so from a macro level, I do want to the listener and to ourselves, just kind of reiterate that it's just one more thing that we have to deal with as a small business. That was an uncontrollable, that we still had some control over the decisions that we made. There was people that lost everything, and there's people that were made.
Yes.
No doubt. If you were able to pivot and you got in the right place in the right time, it can make you.
And
I think my business kind of pivoted and stayed afloat until we could go back to our old model.
For sure.
In my world. But other businesses weren't able to. And then, like you said, other people saw the opportunity, pivoted quickly, and, you know, COVID millionaires, right?
That's right. But some of those COVID millionaires, let's look at them today, and they're struggling.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it looked fun. It looked exciting at the moment, but it's not now. You know, small business, one of my favorite analogies, being in small business is like riding a lion. It looks really cool to everybody watching. You're just trying to figure out how to get the hell off of this thing without it eating you.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
And COVID's just one more thing.
Yeah, I never heard of that analogy, but that is a great analogy.
I agree. Well, I think that, you know, that pretty much ties up the pre-COVID versus post-COVID. A lot of changes to our world. I like to think any struggle we go through makes us stronger. And I think we're smarter and stronger because of it. But I think the small business and the faith and hustle guy learned that we had to have faith in God to get through it. And we had to hustle and pivot to get through it. So I appreciate y'all listening to us, and hope you're there for our next episode. Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.